Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
It's Friday. It's the Sports Animal, and it's the Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice coming at you live from Rusty Wallace Kia right here, Kia of Knoxville, I-75, Callahan Drive. Brian and I will be here until 12 o'clock today, breaking it all down for you. Brian, how was your Thursday evening yesterday?
Not too shabby.
Not too bad?
I had to do Tennessee Sports Night last night, so it was not my usual Thursday routine, but Heather and I did a solid half hour of television magic last night. So
nice. Sweet. I had our boy Rocky come over to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cleaned the carpets and the rugs and all that. So when the wife gets home, I'm starting off with the bases loaded there, ready to.
Yeah, that helps.
Happy wife, happy life. And then I watched a little football. And then I watched the Preds just come back from 4-2 on my Caps.
Did hockey start already?
Yeah, hockey's already started, man. Yeah, the Preds Caps last night. Caps are up 4-2, and the Preds came back and won in regulation 6-5.
See, people got mad at me last year when I said that I wasn't excited for basketball the first week of November because I don't think basketball should start until after Thanksgiving. Hockey shouldn't start until New Year's Day. You know, they have the Winter Classic. That should be the first game.
Mm-mm.
Because I can't.
I'm
get
good with
it
because
it.
I'm good with it because even the Giants Patriots game ended up being a good game. But it wasn't. Like, the score was close,
yeah,
but the game was not a good game.
Well, that was like Syracuse and NC State over on ESPN. It was close, but it was like the whole game NC State was like the big brother with the long arm that's holding the hand out, and Syracuse is like taking wild swings, and they're not doing anything. And then finally they went and scored a touchdown and made it compelling in the last 4 minutes, but otherwise it was just miserable.
Yeah, but I mean that's either way. I'm good with it. I'm glad hockey's back. We were a hockey household last night.
Yep.
It was fun.
Well, that's good. It's good.
Better stuff tonight and this weekend though.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great weekend. The baseball game was over pretty early last night too. The Astros jumped right on the Rays as expected, so they moved on to the ALCS.
There you go.
Full high school schedule tonight as well. Let's take a look at the game plan.
Quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, what can Tennessee do to beat Mississippi State? That's seems to be the question. We went through a lot of numbers yesterday. We'll go through a little summary of the takeaways from all that coming up in a little bit.
A lot of it, I mean, if we're having the conversation as to what we need to do to beat Mississippi State, it's all in here. It's all in the numbers.
Who are Tennessee's best players? GoVols 24/7 ranked their top 10. I'm not ready to do a deep dive the same way they did, but who are Tennessee's best five? I want your best five. I'm going to give you my best five because they're a different best five than I would have said at the beginning of the season, at least a couple of them. We'll take a look at what's going to happen around the SEC this weekend, what's going to happen around the NFL this weekend. Thursday Night Football, when I made the rundown and sent it to you, it looked like that was going to be a fun, compelling rest of the game, and then the Patriots patrioted in the second half, and it was not.
I mean, they got a punt that was their own guy was blocked into the punt. It was blocked by a Giants, by the back of his giant dome. For a touchdown to Ninkovich. Van Noy picked up a fumble and dove and scored a touchdown. I mean, it was Danny Dimes was throwing some Danny Dimes to the Patriots through three interceptions.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. It's hard to win when you turn the ball over.
Yeah, including one turn for an interception. Thank you for those bonus points for my fantasy team. We'll, of course, at 11 o'clock have the world-famous Native Designs pick segment.
Yes, we will.
It's going to be fun. We'll have our Tennessee football preview, and we'll get your keys to the game as well. And your phone calls at 656-9900 as broadcast live here from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, home of the 200,000-mile warranty on Callahan Drive. And that's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 42nd Street.
42SD.com. Listen, here's the deal. If you want to go and help your business from a marketing and branding standpoint, if you're just looking at increasing the amount of sales that you do, if you're trying to get the numbers up, if you're trying to bring more money into your business, I don't know many business owners that don't, that would hear me say that and go, no, we're trying to do less business this year than we did last year. In October, it is time to have the conversations about 2020 and what you're going to do next year. It's time to get in front of Mike and his team over there at 42nd Street and make sure that you have the right marketing game plan. Make sure that your online digital footprint and your online reviews, your Google reviews, your organic SEO search, you know, when people type in your business, if I wanted something to eat and I'm right here and I said, hey, food near me, do you pop up? You know, is it just based on distance? If you go down to the other searches, how do you make sure that you get up there and get closer to people that are searching you no matter what part of town they're in? All that is through Mike at 42nd Street, 42SD.com.
All right, welcome back. We're talking what Tennessee can do to beat the Bulldogs and Tennessee's best players. Coming up on the other side, live from Rusty Wallace, Key of Knoxville, on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
You're listening to the Eric Ains Show on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal, broadcasting live today from Rusty Wallace Kia, like we do so often throughout the entire year, but especially on Fridays in the fall. Again, you already know this. You hear us talk about these guys every day, but the Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville is home of the 200,000-mile warranty on all new Kias purchased right here, purchased or leased here through Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. And you always can come in here. You're going to get more for your trade at all times when you come in here. Different promotions, different things, but one thing that stays the same, you're going to get more for your trade, and they're going to get a 200,000-mile warranty on a brand-new Kia. All right, Brian, let's talk about what we need to do to win the football game tomorrow.
We ran through some of the numbers yesterday, but we need the takeaways, how those numbers translate into Tennessee winning or not winning.
So the first thing, you know, we know how important third down is, and we'll get to third down, but listen to these numbers right here, okay? Tennessee on offense and Mississippi State on offense, both running the football on first down. Well, both of the defenses that are playing tomorrow, Tennessee and Mississippi State, both of the defenses give up more yards per carry than their own offense produces. So Tennessee gives up 5 yards a carry on defense, but we only get 3.5 yards a carry on offense. This is, you know, on first and 10, ball's out there. Tennessee's out there on defense. The other team's getting 5 yards a pop, 5 yards a pop. That's not good, especially when you turn around and look at our offense, and the offense is only producing 3.5 yards a carry on first down. Mississippi State, check this out, though. They give up 6.8 yards per carry on defense. 6.8 yards. They're giving up almost 7 yards a carry. So there is, yeah, I know we're only getting 3.5 yards a carry, but they're giving up 7 yards a carry. So we absolutely can run the football on first down. So you're looking for takeaways. We can definitely run the ball on first down against Mississippi State's defense. What about through the air? Teams are having a lot of success throwing on first down against Tennessee's defense, and Mississippi State's offense is having a lot of success throwing the ball on first down, which is not a good recipe for success if, again, Mississippi State's offense elects to air it out on first down. So if Mississippi State goes out there and they think, well, Tennessee's okay on defense against the run on first down, you know, they're giving up 5 yards a carry, but we're killing it through the air. I mean, they're averaging 9.2 yards per attempt, and they throw for 70% on first down. That's not ideal. So I would imagine that Mississippi State, you know, you want to talk about how to win the football game. Mississippi State, when we're on defense, we've got to force them. You don't want to say run the football, but that's what a balanced team does, right? I mean, you say, okay, they're throwing for 70% and they're getting a bunch of chunk plays on first and 10 throwing the football. what do we do? I think you start by trying to give them looks where they have to run the ball, the two safety looks we've been talking about, and then you just dive everybody in there and you sell out on the run, assuming that that's what they're going to call. That's probably your best bet against them, but they've done a pretty good job on that. Tennessee's defense doesn't allow a lot of big yardage plays on first down in the passing game, but they have given up 7 touchdowns through the air on first down. So that just means on downs where there's confusion, Tennessee's defense is not like where there's, you know, where it makes sense. Hey, they could run or pass here. Tennessee's defense has not fared all that well in those situations. Mississippi State's defense, though, they give up a lot of explosive plays on first down. So the yardage is there to take. So we're not as efficient throwing the ball on first down as Mississippi State is, but we're still throwing for 52% on first and 10. We have 16 plays of 15 yards or more. So throughout the first, you know, through the 4 games we're talking about here for us, there's been 16 times we're on first and 10. We go get an explosive pass play. It's where a lot of ours actually have come from. So I'm going to say on first down, we can run the football against them. They're probably going to try to air it out against us and take advantage of that with their freshman quarterback. But there's yards to be had. I would say advantage Tennessee slightly on first and 10. And the reason that's so important, Brian, is when we get to talking about third down and how to win the football game, we already talked about turnover margin. That's going to be the biggest one we talk about because they're good at taking the ball away and we're not. We talked about red zone. There's not a ton there. Both defenses in the red zone give up too many touchdowns, but they're a little better at scoring touchdowns in the red zone than we are. So this is a touchdowns, not field goals game. But with two freshman quarterbacks, you got to make sure you come away with points. The red zone takeaway for this game is you got to have points. Turnover margin is it better be even, if not winning. First down. Don't get discouraged if you see Chaney calling runs on first and 10. They give up 7 yards a play on 7 yards a rush on first down on defense. Mississippi State does. Gets you to third down, though, and Tennessee is better than Mississippi State on offense at converting third downs. Believe it or not, we are. The takeaway on third down is 3rd and 1 to 6. If it's 3rd down and 1 to 6 yards to go, then Mississippi State is converting at a 58% rate on offense. So on 3rd and short and 3rd and medium, when Mississippi State's out there on offense, they're pretty good. I mean, they're going to convert it, you know, right at 6 out of 10 times, which is good. But when you get to 3rd and 7 or more, 3rd and 7+, they drop down to 16%.
Not great.
So from 58% conversion rate on third down to 16%. So if there's ever been a time, I mean, you got to sell out on first and second down, because if you can get to 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10 against Mississippi State's offense, especially with the freshman quarterback out there, that's when they're going to turn the ball over, and that's when they're going to be punting. So it's huge. You've got to force them. We can't let them with a freshman quarterback live in 3rd and 4, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 6. We've got to get them to 3rd and 7+ and consistently. Because, I mean, that's the biggest drop-off of any team that I've seen play this year, 58% to 16%. Like, if you look at Tennessee on the flip side, we're converting those 3rd and 1 to 6 on offense. We're converting them 50% of the time. So it's not quite as good as Mississippi State, but we're converting the 3rd and longs 31% of the time. So we go from 50 to 31. They go from 58 to 16. So the discrepancy in third down and distance, how long they have to go, is it's more drastic with Mississippi State's offense than any that I've seen. And on the flip side, they're the same on defense. I haven't seen this very often that it happens this way. Their defense on 3rd and 1 to 6, they allow a conversion 48% of the time. When you go to third and seven or more, Mississippi State's defense brings the junk, Bob Shoop, and teams are only converting at a 16% rate. So remember, third and seven plus 16%. Because when our offense is out there and it's third and seven, third and 10, that Bob Shoop defense is getting is only allowing a conversion in that down and distance 16% of the time. And when they're on offense and Jarnigan yells, it's third down, and everyone starts cheering and getting loud, if it's third and seven or more, you can really start clapping your hands. You should anyway. We should have a good plan for it. These guys through five games are only converting those 16% of the time. So that's where these numbers come in. Tennessee's not as – there's nothing as drastic for Tennessee. We're a lot more in the middle. We don't have quite as high highs or quite as low lows. We're a little more in the middle, but the turnovers, the red zone, the first down stuff, the third down one is the one that really pops off the page. Turnovers and third down are the two stats – that pop off the page and you go, whoa, they're way better at taking the football away than we are. And both teams give it up about the same. So we've got to take care of the football. We have to take care of the football. We can't allow them to do what they do and force turnovers. I mean, you remember when we hired Bob Shoop before he coached here, before he came here.
He was known for the attacking defense, and then it never
aggressive third down turnovers. That's the junk, the stuff. That's Bob Shoop defense, and it's been before and after here.
I do wonder, though, how much different Mississippi State looks in those situations and on defense in total with their suspended players playing tomorrow. It's most importantly junior linebacker Willie Gay and defensive tackle Lee Autry. And right up the middle has been where Mississippi State has been most susceptible, particularly in the games those guys have missed. I wonder if those guys who were projected starters coming into the season and have played big roles over the last couple of seasons make them better.
I'll tell you where it makes them better. On first and 10 in the run game, these guys are allowed, that defense without those two guys, they're giving up right at 7 yards a rush on first down. Well, you put an all-conference caliber D tackle and an all-conference caliber linebacker out there, and that's probably not the case. They're still susceptible to the pass on first down. I mean, that's the good thing. I don't think that it makes them any better against the pass other than the fact that it does eliminate the just guaranteed gashers right up the middle. I mean, teams are still throwing for 52% against their defense.
And that's where, same as Georgia, I would be concerned because you're asking your freshman quarterback to go win the game for you. Because it was the same thing. Georgia was allowing, 56 yards a game coming into that game. You knew you were going to have to throw because they were not as good against the pass. And for the first half, Brian Maurer was up to the task. Georgia made some adjustments and less so. How do they overcome that tomorrow, knowing going in that they're probably going to have to throw the football?
Well, they're going to have to throw the football, but they have to throw the football ahead, down, and distance. If they do what they did against Georgia, see what they did against Georgia, and this comes from having a freshman quarterback and not having an understanding, but when you call a pass play on first and 10 and you want to take a shot and Chaney guesses wrong and they're playing cover two and they're dropping everybody back and they're guessing just like you are, that's when Maurer needs to drop back, stick his foot in the ground, and take off and go get 3 yards and give you second and 7, not second and 10. Because if you can do that, or throw the check down immediately and go make 5 yards and give you second and 5, because if you can get second and 5 against these guys, what you have to do against Mississippi State is you can't live in this. Third down gets there before you know it on every series, every drive. If you live in the third and 7 plus, like against Georgia, you bring up Georgia. The reason we had success early in the game is because we were gashing them on early downs. When you get to third, we had third and 9 or more 10 times against Georgia. And we converted 3 of them, which is actually pretty good. I mean, that's kind of where we've been, 31%. That's pretty good. But Mississippi State is actually even better on third and those long down and distances than Georgia is. So I don't expect it to be any better than 3 of 10. And guess what? If Tennessee is 3 of 10 on 10 drive, you know, if there's seven punts because we can't convert a third and long, there's no way we're going to win the football game.
Right.
So getting to that manageable third down means you have to get positive yards. And a lot of the Georgia stuff came, it wasn't just that, it was miscommunication up front, and obviously we could have that. We got some new guys playing up front, all that. But they had 11 tackles for loss. If Tennessee gives up 11 tackles for loss against Mississippi State, who's not even very good at it, they only have 24 on the entire year through five games. What is that? Not even five a game?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they give up that, you know, like 3 to 5 tackles for loss, that's okay. I mean, we can overcome that. But 11? No way. 11 ends up translating into, 10 third and longs. So all that goes together to say you've got to be productive. Jim Chaney needs to have his very, very best day on first and 10 calling plays and making yards. And a lot of that falls on Jim Chaney, not Brian Maurer, not because that's the one down a distance you can guarantee that the defense doesn't know what you're going to do.
All right, welcome back here to Rusty Wallace, Kia of Knoxville, and Callahan Drive Home with a 200,000-mile warranty. More of the Eric Haines shows next, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
.  If you want to join us here as we broadcast the Eric Haines Show live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville, I-75 in Callahan Drive. And you're listening to us here on The Animal, whether you're streaming us, listening to us on the dial, podcasting it at some other point. We appreciate everybody tuning in and taking advantage of us and all the info we got here on The Animal.
Jake's here, so the pick segment is only an hour and 23 minutes away.
And you're doing the show with Troy and myself tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gate 21.
Yeah, because Tyler can't do it live from the roof, so I'll be up there at the Gate 21 with you.
Nice.
9:30, right?
9:30 to 10:30.
It'll be fun. I promise. Probably. It's only an hour. We do three hours.
Let's be honest. You're not the one who's responsible for it, quote, being fun.
I'm the one that's responsible for it going to break on time.
My job is to make sure it's fun.
Yeah. We do 3 hours a day. I can handle you and Troy's, for only an hour. That's great.
Troy's easy.
Yeah, that's... Comparatively speaking...
Mm-hmm.
It's why Tennessee Sports Night is easy. It's 30 minutes and you set a high standard, let's say that. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Let's go to the phones and talk to Wyatt. Wyatt, welcome into the EA Show.
Good morning.
Hey, Wyatt.
Would you say that when Tennessee goes into the 4-2 against the spread and puts that Jack linebacker and has him put his hand down, that we're not getting enough pass rush? Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
And that Einstein's definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting to get different results, correct?
I see where you're going with this, but that's what everybody does against the nickel with the 4-2-5.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking of, if you were out there and the halfback, they were in a traditional eye, and one of the backs slips out in the backfield and lines up in the slot, you move a linebacker over to cover him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in your three. That would put you in a 3-3.
Well, it depends. If it's man to man or zone, it would depend on how they would line up to that. But you could keep going.
Okay, my thought was keep the same personnel package in, but go to a 3-3 instead of a 3-4. I mean, instead of a 4-2. You're still sending the Jack linebacker most plays, all right? But instead of sending him up straight up against the offensive tackle, one down, you've got, you slid over your defensive tackle over a little bit to kind of hit that gap and take the guard and tackle to both, do a double team, force a double team on him and, occupy the tackle a little bit. and he takes an extra step to go around it because he's moving a little bit further outside, but there's nobody blocking him, so he's coming free, which gives him, you know, gets him in there quicker, and now their running back has to block him. And then, you know, the next time he's circling around, he's going in, you know, between the center and the guard and trying to, you know, slip through there on kind of a zone blitz. And another play, he's actually backing off in the Mike, or somebody's doing it, or the nickel is coming in. And you're still, even when you're only sending four, you're doing it from six different ways. And that was one of the things that seemed to bother us last year so much, was when somebody played a straight like Kentucky did and Auburn did, our line blocked them, and we did well, and we beat both of those teams. When they started stunting of any kind of things, we stuck our thumb in the mouth and goes, oh, me, what's going on here, and screwed up and let them tackle our, you know, our quarterback too often. And I was thinking, give a little dose of that to them. If we set up in a 3-3, like I say, you're still sending four guys. You're just not sending the same four all the time. And, you know, occasionally you can still send five, you know, from that situation, just like you would on the 4-2. But even when you're sending four, they're not, okay, this guy's coming here and this guy's coming here, and I can beat that guy man on man because my offensive tackle is better than their jack linebacker, and he will block him, and the guy's not going to get anything. But, you know, if you're sending different spots and they're kind of having to make decisions on who's coming, and you can fake doing one, and, you know, it acts out like he's, you know, going to rush and he's trying to, you know, time it and stuff. But actually what he's doing, he's trying to time it on back and off. And by the time you think, okay, he's coming on the outside, he backs mm-hmm. off and somebody else comes. Well, and then he hits the quick guy, you know, the slot guy, but it's actually the nickel coming in. And they think, okay, they're blitzing, the nickel's guy's coming in, and actually the jack backs out and he's there to intercept the pass.
Wyatt, let me comment on all that. I don't disagree with the concept of what you're saying, which is we need to do more and more different stuff. The answer to go to stay 3-3 and change up who the fourth guy is that you're coming with pressure is good if it's third and seven or more. If you can guarantee they're not going to run the football. Because if you, and there's a reason that no NFL team, no college football team really does this against nickel personnel, which is 11 personnel, which is when you have one tight end out there and one running back and then three receivers. If you do this stuff on downs where they can just snap the football and run the ball, you'll never stop them before they reach 5 or 7 yards ever. Because you get three double teams when you do that. So you can those three guys that you're talking about putting down mm-hmm. there, each one of them gets double teamed, and you run the football, and those three linebackers that are back there in the 3-3, two of them are going to at least have somewhat of a guy coming off the double team. And if you play a really good football team, they all will, and they'll all have some sort of shedding offensive linemen. They're going double down on him to the backside, and they go, and then they cover him up, and then they get the double team, and it's just super, super easy for those six guys to block those six guys when you line them up that way. So on first and 10, I mean, there's no, even like the New England Patriots that are a 3-4 team that play teams that go in 11 personnel, they don't line up like that and do that on first and 10. The Ravens, my coach, you know, Rex Ryan, he never lines up like that on first and 10. But when you get to third and ... guaranteed pass down, that's when that kind of stuff comes into play. And that's what all the good coordinators do. I would like to see us do what you're saying, Wyatt, and bringing it up. I would like to see us do that when we get third and 7+, third and 8, third and 9. You know, right now we're giving up, what did I say? Mississippi State only gives up a first down 16% of the time in that down and distance. Tennessee gives up a first down on third and long 35% of the time. So this is where this is coming into play, Wyatt, is the good defenses on third and long, when they can guarantee you're not going to run the ball, Because if you want to, that's fine. If it's third and nine and I'm saying you're going to get 5 to 7 yards, well, you probably will get 5 to 7 yards if you call it, but that still means you're punting. So I would like to see us bring the – this is what I'm referring to, what you brought up is what is the junk. This is the – it's the junk. You got the three down. The fourth guy can be a spinner. They do that with J.J. Watt all the time. He'll walk around in different gaps and different – and then when the ball snapped, boom, he knows where he's going the whole time. But he's just walking around creating confusion. And on third down against Mississippi State with a freshman quarterback, knowing they're going to probably call a lot of the same stuff we will, which is our basic slide protections, gap protections, different stuff like that, keeping the tight end in and max protections. If both teams are in the same boat doing that kind of stuff, then this could cause serious problems for them because or us on the flip side. But I guarantee you Bob Shoup's going to do it to us. So, yeah, Wyatt, good call, man. That's a third and long deal.
Other question on that, going along with that then. Why are we in a 3-4 against a full house? You know, I mean.
We got to go to break for me to answer that.
Okay.
Right. We're already past it.
We'll
but
check that on the other side.
Thanks for calling, Wyatt.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff, man.
9900. More of the Eric Gain Show's next from here at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Door. Welcome into the Eric Gain Show on the Sports Animal. Broadcasting live today from Rusty Wallace Kia. Bad Take Andy got us set up. Bad Take Andy could definitely get pulled over driving this Kia behind me. What are these ones called again right here? The Stingers? Those things are sweet. The Tellurides and the Stingers, man.
Roll it.
Yeah, those are awesome.
We're rolling here at Rusty Wallace Kia, 656-9900 if you want to join us. To follow up on
what Wyatt was talking about, yeah, all good calls, good stuff. Remember, if everybody does it one way, and it's about trying to trick, like nothing in football at this point in our lives hasn't been tried before,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody lines up about the same. Everybody plays similar stuff. You're not recreating the wheel. The game is the coordinator versus the other coordinator. That's the matchup. The matchup is the other team's quarterback. You know, if you're Derek Ansley, you're not just competing against Georgia's offensive staff and play caller. At that point, you're also competing against their quarterback, Jake Fromm, because he's a vet and he makes great decisions. You're competing against two true freshman quarterbacks this weekend. If you're the other team's defense, you know, if you're Bob Shoup or Derek Ansley, you've got a true freshman, but you also have their play caller, you know, on offense that you got to take it. You know, you got Moorhead and you got Chaney. What are they going to do? How are they going to work it? Those games are the interesting conversations to have. But the 3-3 down, moving around, walking around stuff, that is a straight up third and long only. If they were doing it against third and four or first and 10, I would be the one pounding the table going, what are you doing? So on the flip side, and I'm sure that'll be part of the plan. I'm sure you'll see us walking around a little and moving around. I mean, the problem is Tennessee fans and media at some times, I mean, and some of it has been warranted, but a lot of the times it's not. They screenshot like right when there's the most possible moving around.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's two guys lined up and everyone else doesn't know where to go. Half the time that they do that, and I don't know if Pruitt ever comments on it, but that's what they're supposed to do. They are attempting to create the confusion for the other team's offensive line to twists and stunts and run the little TEET games and all that kind of stuff. Now, sometimes they're just not lined up right, Brian.
Right.
So they don't get to get upset about that for people screenshotting that because – I guess, you know, they're saying, well, is this the time they're not lined up or is this the time they're trying to create confusion? But the 3-4 stuff, we actually play a lot of both. It's not like every time they put two tight ends out there – we run and jump into the 3-4 as fast as we possibly can. That's really it's really not true. I mean, we've probably played as many 4-3 snaps as we have 3-4 snaps this year. Just for reference, I know the front and the scheme are one thing, but I would say a good coordinator in 2019, someone who has a system, they are capable. The only people that have the quote-unquote systems that work are Oklahoma and the Big 12, and it's because they have superior players to everybody that they play in their conference, very good coaching, and they've already got everything. Okay, Ohio State and the Big 10. You know, they've got everything. He needed a quarterback, but he got Justin Fields. So, I mean, Ryan Day has an offense. You know, he's got his system. If you took Justin Fields out of there and you put Brian Maurer as the quarterback at Ohio State, guess what Ryan Day would have to do? He would have to be multiple and know how to do everything just like all the other coordinators have to do. Like, there's no one in the SEC that, quote, has a system and that they just run what they run and they kill everybody for it. It's just not – that's not true. I mean, like, look at Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen's been an offensive guy. Well, Dan Mullen's an offensive guy because he can run two tight end sets. He can run one tight end sets. He can go empty with two tight ends out there. He can go empty with five receivers out there. Dan Mullen is intelligent and he's multiple. Jim Chaney is intelligent and he's multiple. So we have both of our coordinators on both sides in this game that we're going to watch. Their system is that they've got a little bit of everything rolled up into it. So that's why it's so intriguing to me, because you got two OCs and two DCs that can do anything, but they do have, each one of them has some personnel limitations. What's it going to look like, and what's the plan going
to
be?
All right, welcome back for hour number two of the Eric Haines Show. 656-9900 if you want to join us. Who are Tennessee's best players? That's next. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.